There are lots of changes in all of our lives and lots of things going on, and we have to be ready for God's new thing. Sometimes we get so focused on the past and so focused on what's wrong, we miss God's best, and we don't want to do that. So are you willing to do some new things for God? In Matthew 14 and verse 22, this is certainly a new thing. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's the ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it's I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. We have to be ready for changes because sometimes God brings some very unpredictable things into our lives. I want to tell you a little story about a man. He was born in Columbus, Ohio in 1890. He was the third of eight children in his family. At 11 years old, he had to quit school because the family had financial needs and he had to quit and get a job. He got a job, and his first full-time job paid $3.50 a week. Doesn't seem like much to us now, but this is back in the early 1900s. At 15, he got interested in automobiles, and he went to work in a garage at $4.50 a week, so a little improvement. He knew he'd never get anywhere without more education. And so he began to take correspondence school. So correspondence schools have been around a long time. He couldn't go to school because he had to work every day. But at night he began to get correspondence schools talking about automobiles. He learned and he learned. He worked long hours at the auto shop that he was at. But every night, by the light of a kerosene lamp, he did his studies. He knew in his heart what he really wanted to do. He had in mind what he was going to do, and what he planned to do was to work at Frey Miller Automotive Company in Columbus, Ohio, which was one of the most advanced automobile manufacturers. Again, we're talking early 1900s. One day he felt ready and his plan was complete, and he walked into the leaf fryer was over a hood in his manufacturing shop, and the boy just waited. He waited, and eventually Lee Fryer looked up and saw the young man standing there. He said, "What do you want?" He said, "I would just want you to know, Mr. Fryer, I'm coming to work here tomorrow." Mr. Fryer said, "Who hired you?" He said, "Nobody hired me, but I just wanted you to know I'm coming to work tomorrow, and if I'm not worth it, you can fire me anytime you want to." Well, early the next morning, the young man returned to the garage. Mr. Fryer wasn't there. In fact, nobody was there yet. But the young man noticed that the floor was full of oil and grease and metal shavings all around on the ground. So he grabbed a broom and a scoop shovel and he went to work. By the time Mr. Fryer got there, the floor was clean. Needless to say, they kept the young man. The young man began to work and study, and he gained a national reputation as an expert in automotives, and he became a great race car driver. When the First World War started, he was the ace of all the pilots in the United States Air Force. It wasn't the Air Force then, it was the Army Corps, but he was the best pilot. After World War I ended, he started Eastern Airlines, and his name was Eddie Rickenbacker. Most of us know the name, at least, but he started Eastern Airlines. He had faith in what his vision was. Sometimes we have to have faith in our God's vision for us, because sometimes He'll call us to something, and we say, I don't think I'm qualified. God doesn't call the qualified. God calls the willing, and then he makes them qualified. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 29, Jesus knew that new testing was going to require new faith. When Peter said, if it's you, Lord, tell me to come. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? The interesting thing is, Peter had little faith, but what about the guys that stayed in the boat? How much faith did they have? They had even less faith. Sometimes, just your little faith, if you'll just step out, God will give you more faith. And when your faith begins to slip, God will hold you up and give you what you need to carry on and to be faithful. William Booth wrote this, faith and work should travel side by side, step answering to step, like the legs of men walking. First faith, then work, and then faith again, and then works again, until they can scarcely distinguish which is the one and which is the other. As we begin to walk with our Lord, he'll give us new strength so that we can take on even greater challenges. Our Lord wants us to know that if you'll take a risk and trust him, he'll give you everything you need to do exactly what he's calling you to do. Jesus honored people who risked shame and frustration, and very often he answered their prayers. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, we find a woman just like that. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him, Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Folks, sometimes when the Lord gives you an idea, you need to follow it with all your heart. When everybody else says, no, it's never going to happen, if God said it can, guess what? It can happen. God will make it happen. This woman had the Lord tell her himself, I'm sent only to the children of Israel. And his ministry, when he first started, was to the children of Israel. But that woman wasn't going to give up. Her daughter had a need that only Jesus could meet. Sometimes our family members have needs only Jesus can meet. And you say, well, how often should I keep pestering the Lord? We pestered the Lord for 30 years before Mimi's dad came to saving faith. Folks, we don't give up. If the Lord lays something on your heart for his glory, we keep crying out. Eventually, he will answer. We need to be willing to take some risk to see our God work. Because when God works, the answer comes, and we'll wind up rejoicing. Another illustration from Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, God our Father has made all things depend upon faith, so that whoever has faith will have everything, and whoever does not have faith will have nothing. If we'll not change, we risk losing everything. There are times when God says you need to change. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, such a story went on. Just then a young man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, What good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what's good? Jesus replied. There's only one who's good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandment. Which ones? He inquired. Jesus replied, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I've kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it's hard for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Folks, sometimes the Lord's going to ask you to do something that will be very, very difficult for you. If you have great wealth, the Lord may call upon you to give it all. We don't know. The Lord said if we don't die to ourselves, we can't be his disciple. Usually he doesn't ask you for everything, but he may. This young man, because he wasn't willing to give everything to the Lord, his wealth, how much wealth does he have today? If he never worked that out and he never got it right, how much wealth does he have now? He has none. Folks, we have to understand this. Either we're going to gain everything by walking by faith, or we're going to lose everything by walking by sight. We as Christians are to live different than the world does. A little story about Adoniram Judson. Adoniram Judson was a missionary to China. He took the mission and he got arrested over there because they didn't believe in the gospel. They arrested him, put him in jail. He was in jail in the stocks. He had 32 pounds of chains and locks on his ankles. And one of the prisoners that was in jail with him said, Dr. Judson, what are the chances of the gospel going to China? And Adoniram Judson said, just as good as the promises of God. He went to work bringing the gospel, and by the time he got done with his mission in China, there were 1 million Christians in China in 1949. I'm going to come back to that in a minute, because you're going to see how God greatly blesses over time. It's time to make a move for God. Our Heavenly Father called Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, Abraham had to make a move. Sometimes God's going to ask you to make a move. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Abram had lived in Haran all of his life. It was a fairly metropolis city, and he was used to living there. God said, I want you to leave everything you've known, your family, your friends. I want you to leave your job. I want you to leave your household, and I'm going to take you to a different land. Abram had to make a choice. Am I going to believe this God? Am I going to leave everything to live for him? Our Lord wants us to be like Abram. He wants us to make the choice that no matter what our God asks us to do, we're willing to do it. In Romans chapter 4, verse 16, talking about the faith of Abraham, it says, therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so he became the father of many nations. Just as has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb also was dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. That is why it was credited to him as righteousness. That's the kind of faith our Lord wants every single one of us to have. Even when everything seems to be against us and there seems to be no way, God says he'll always make a way for his children. We have to walk by faith. One night a house caught fire, and the younger son, who was about 10 years old, was caught in the fire in the house. He had no way to escape, and so he ran up onto the roof of the house. His dad was down below with the fire burning the house up and his son up on the roof, and the dad held out his arms and said, son, jump. And the young son, with the fire and the smoke, he couldn't see his dad. And he said, dad, I can't see you. The dad said, son, don't worry about that. I can see you. Jump. I will catch you. And the young boy jumped, or he would have surely perished. When you can't see God in the midst of your trouble, he can see you. We just have to trust in the everlasting arms. Our Heavenly Father always sees us. He's the good shepherd. He knows his sheep. He's always got his eye on us, and if we'll trust him, he will guide us all the days of our life. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 26, it says, there's no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides across the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He'll drive out your enemy for you, saying, destroy them. Our God has the everlasting arms, and he'll always catch his own. We may not know the changes ahead, but we do know our God, and he does not change. In Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Always strive to remember where God leads, God will provide. In Philippians 4, verse 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. What the promise is, and this is quite a promise, if you're walking with God, he promises to meet every need you have according to his glory in Christ Jesus. How much does God have that he says he'll meet every one of all of our needs? He has it all. There's nothing that God can't do, and so we can trust him. Most will count the cost and choose not to change. God wants us to live by faith, not by sight. In Luke chapter 12, verse 22, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you'll wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your hearts on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. If he's going to give us the kingdom, there's nothing that he's going to hold back from us. We need to live again by faith and not by sight. When we get afraid, and we all get afraid sometimes, because sometimes the Lord asks us to do some things that are going to make a lot of changes in our lives. When that time comes and the fear comes, realize the fear is not from God. The fear is from a lack of faith. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid or afraid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." When the problems come and the troubles come and the challenge comes, don't live in fear. The apostles had a big choice when the Lord first called them. In John chapter 12, verse 24, the Lord said, "Verily, verily, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Folks, we have to understand, if we try to hang on to our life, we're going to lose our life. If we release our life to the Lord's care, we'll find life that's really life, the abundant life. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, God gives us another wonderful promise. "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You've done a foolish thing, and from now on you'll be at war." Folks, our Lord is searching for the man or the woman, the boy or the girl, that will trust him. And when he finds that person, he shows himself strong on their behalf. And you'll be able to do things you never thought you'd be able to do. In order to see greater things in our life, we must be willing to lay aside some of the comforts of this life. We must surrender it fully to our Lord, and then our Lord will take us to new places we've never been before. Remember the famous song, "Anywhere with Jesus you can safely go. Anywhere he leads you in this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise." Do you want to know the difference between Joseph and his father Jacob? Joseph lived by faith. Everything he did, it seemed like it got worse. Joseph tried to obey the Lord, and he got sold by his brothers into slavery. In slavery, Joseph served his master with all of his heart. But his master's wife said that he tried to rape her. Joseph wound up in jail. But in jail, Joseph just kept on serving his Lord. And in one day, he went from a slave in jail to the prime minister of the entire nation of Egypt. Jacob, on the other hand, was called to live by faith, but he kept living by sight. He kept scheming how he could accomplish what he wanted instead of what God wanted. And it led to trouble after trouble after trouble in Jacob's life. But finally, the good news for Jacob, he wound up living by faith. Sadly, it took him a lifetime to get there. Joseph, his whole life, lived by faith. And God blessed the life of Joseph more than almost any man in the Scriptures. I want to read you just a few Scriptures to give you the hope that we need to go through those times when we get some testing. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. As you study your Bible, and you see how God has blessed men and women who live by faith before us, it strengthens our faith, so that when that time of testing comes, and the Lord says, Dave, I want you to do a new thing, Dave can say, well, Joseph did a new thing and God blessed him. Moses did a new thing and God blessed him. I'll try this new thing and we'll see what God does. Folks, it's so important. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Folks, if you'll keep trusting the Lord, you'll have perfect peace. Our problem is often, when the test comes, we fail the test and we lose our peace because we don't have that kind of faith. We need to grow that. In Jeremiah 6, verse 16, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path and where the good way is, and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your soul. But you said, we will not walk in it. What a shame. The nation of Israel went into captivity for 70 years because they would not walk by faith. I can't tell you how many people I know today that are locked into sin because they simply won't walk by faith. They know what they should do, but they won't trust God. They won't die to self, and they stay right where they were. Folks, I don't know about you. I don't want to stay where I am. I'm doing pretty well, but I want to do better. I want to keep changing. When God calls me to a change, I want to be ready. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. You see, if you're going to affect another life for God's glory, you have to be living by faith. Because faith is a contagious blessing, but it only comes through another person's faith. And the more you live by faith, the more contagious you're going to be, and others are going to catch the same thing. I mentioned Hudson Taylor when he went to China. He made a voyage on a sailing vessel. And it was near the channel between southern Malaysia Peninsula and the island of Sumatra, the missionary heard an urgent knock at the stateroom door. He opened it, and there stood the captain of the ship. Mr. Taylor, he said, we have no wind. We're drifting toward an island where the people are heathen, and I fear they may very well be cannibals. What can I do? Asked Taylor. The ship captain said, I have heard that you believe in God. I want you to pray for wind. Hudson Taylor told the captain of the ship, I will pray for wind if you will set the main sail. The captain said, are you crazy? All the people on this boat will think I'm crazy if I set the sail. There's no wind at all, I just told you. Captain, I will pray for wind if you will set the sail. The captain went back up on top, had the sailors set the sail, and Hudson was down below praying. 45 minutes, he heard another knock at the door. Mr. Taylor, you can stop praying. We have more when than we can handle. Folks, you need to keep at it. You need to keep living by faith and keep praying. Faith believes that God's will be done His way, and those who believe will lack no good thing. That was Hudson Taylor's prayer. In 1949, there were 1 million Chinese that turned to faith in Christ. 1949, as you know, the history of China, is when the Red Chinese took over the land. It became communist. Suddenly, it was against the law to preach the gospel. You had 1 million Christians that it was against the law to preach the gospel. 1949 has been, let's see, 51, 75, 76 years ago. There were 1 million Christians. It's been against the law to preach the gospel there ever since. Now, there are a few churches. Anybody have a guess how many Christians are in China today? There's 100 million Christians in China today. Against persecution, the church that Hudson Taylor started has grown to 100 million people now. That's 70 years, 100-fold multiplication in a nation that is against the law to preach the gospel. Folks, we live in a country where it's still legal. If we just keep doing our job, how many Christians are there going to be in the United States of America in 70 years if we have the same fervor that those people had? It's going to multiply. I know our schools are going against the gospel, our government's against the gospel, but that's not what matters. What matters is, what are the Christians doing? Are they living by faith? Are they proclaiming the truth? As we do that, God's going to bless. Our job is not to worry about what's going on in the government. I do want to pray that we have good, godly men and women in office. But even if we don't, the gospel can still go forward. It's not going to stop. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Remember we said that Abram was 75 years old when he got the promise that he was going to be a father of many nations? Anybody know how old he was when he had Isaac, the son of promise? He was 99 when she got pregnant. He was 100 when Isaac was born. And it was an impossibility with men. There was no way that at 90, well, Sarah was, I think, 10 years younger, but at 90 years old, she was not going to be capable of having a baby because her time was past. But nothing's impossible with our God. And she became pregnant. Folks, God can do anything that His people will place their faith in Him and trust Him. It's time to step out of our comfort zone and begin to trust our God. To begin to trust Him to do exactly what He says He will do. And when we do that, we're going to see God greatly use each and every one of us for His glory. Father, we're grateful for Your word. We're grateful for the promises that we find. We're grateful, Lord, that You give a ministry to every single child of Yours. Father, help us to seek that ministry and then to work with all of our hearts, doing exactly what You've called each one of us to do. And Father, we'll give You the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen.